This morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's always difficult when the scripture comes up that no one has ever heard of before. It's okay, you can laugh. Have you heard this story? Parable of the Good Samaritan. That's probably top five. Would you put it in your top five favorite parables? I think it's probably the most known parable. So much so that we have laws that are called Good Samaritan laws. You know these, right? And if you stop and help someone, you are there's less burden of what you need to do and that sort of thing. We're protected when we stop and help people out of the goodness of our hearts. So we've got the Good Samaritan is such a well-known and well-loved parable. It's often difficult to come up with a new thing to say, and it's easy to fall into the trap of trying to help us understand this parable in our day and age. What does it mean to be a Samaritan? What does it mean that Jesus is using the Samaritan as somebody? What's a Levite? What is a priest? How are all of these things? How can we help us understand? And so it's easy to try to come up with a new example for today. Okay, so here's the example I came up with. Okay, you're at Rupp Arena. Do you know what happens at Rupp Arena? They play basketball games there, right? And all of a sudden you're in the bathroom or something and you get beat up, stripped, robbed, left for dead. But don't worry, I had to write his name down. Mark Pope shows up in the bathroom. But he's got to get back to the game. So he does his business, he washes his hands, and he goes. Then all of a sudden, who should walk in but Reed Shepherd? Oh, buddy, surely I'm going to be helped now. No, Reed Shepherd, you know, he's at the halftime show or something. So he's got to go, he does his business, he washes his hands. And then who should walk in? Christian Lautner. Oh, that's a good one. Christian Lautner shows up. Ooh, man. Man, I forgot about Christian Lautner. I had blocked him out. No, nobody can forget about Christian Lautner. Christian Lautner walks in. If anybody's going to kick you and beat you and steal your money again, it's Christian Lautner, right? That old evil so-and-so. But, of course, it's Christian Lautner that goes and helps you. And, oh, man, now you have to love the guy afterwards, don't you? Right, we make jokes and we try to figure out what this is, the depth of the hatred that these people talking to Jesus would have felt when they said a Samaritan. And I pointed out to the Sunday school, even at the end, Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Does the lawyer say the Samaritan? No. He says, the one that showed him mercy. These Samaritans are so hated by the lawyer and the other folks that Jesus are talking to, he can't even say his name. He can't even say it was the Samaritan that was his neighbor. It was the Samaritan that has done what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. That's the level of hatred. He can't even say it was the Samaritan. He simply says the one who showed him mercy. And so as we talk about this scripture this morning, it's important to remember those things. We can joke about Christian Lautner, or we can add in terrorists, immigrants, whatever we might think that hated group in our own lives is. That's the important thing to remember. This story should shock us. We should be appalled that Jesus says they are the ones who inherit eternal life. There's got to be some weight to it. But I have a feeling that you have heard that sermon before. That was a nice little Cliff Notes too, I think. You've heard that before. Even the people that we think don't deserve it, God says deserves it. I want to look at this lawyer's question. What brings about this entire thing? And the way that Jesus responds to this lawyer. We've got this conversation, this lawyer that stands up to test Jesus. For some reason, Jesus continues to be tested. Now, you'll think back and remember that in this part of the gospel, Jesus has already set his face to Jerusalem. We've talked for the past two Sundays about the urgency in which Jesus has to go to Jerusalem, the urgency in which the kingdom of God is coming. This thing is happening now. Jesus is on his way. But this lawyer stands up to test Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? If this thing that is about to happen, if this kingdom of God is here now with your death and resurrection, Jesus, what must I do to be a part of it? Now, in the other gospels, when Jesus is asked this question, he answers it. He quotes the scripture in Deuteronomy, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind." And he adds in this passage from Leviticus, "And love your neighbor as yourself." Luke has Jesus turn the question back around on that lawyer. What does it say there? You're here to test me. Let me test you. You are the so-called expert of the law, this lawyer. What does it say there? And the lawyer gives the proper response. And Jesus says, that's right. Go and do it. If you can do those things, if you can love God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength, everything that you are, if you love God with everything that you've got and your neighbor as yourself, that'll cover most everything. You will inherit that eternal life. You will be a part of the kingdom of God when it arrives and it's coming soon. You will be a part of it. But of course, anytime you get shot down, anytime you try to test somebody and the pie gets thrown back in your face, you want to justify yourself just like this lawyer does. So who is my neighbor? This is the question. Who is my neighbor? What is the lawyer trying to do? He's trying to get out of his work. I understand I've got to love God with all that I have. I can do that. And I understand I have to love my neighbor as myself, but who exactly is my neighbor? Surely I don't have to love them. I don't have to love those people. I'm forgiven if I don't love that group of people. Right? I think this is where the lawyer is actually being sincere. He might have started this conversation trying to test Jesus, trying to see if he was as expertly knowledgeable of the law as he was. But here, he's being sincere. Yeah, it's always said that. I've understood what I need to do, but how far do I have to do it? How wide is that circle of my neighbors? Surely not everybody. There's the sincerity. And as I was reading this passage, I kind of felt sorry for the lawyer. Because I'm pretty sure I've felt those same things before. Surely not those people. Surely not that group of people. These things that have happened to them, I don't need to have full compassion for them because maybe they deserve it. Maybe they did something wrong. Maybe that's just how it is. I don't have to fully love them as I would want to be loved. This is the sincerity of this passage. And Jesus tells this wonderful parable that we are all so familiar with, that we've all taken for granted, and that Samaritan is the one that's the good one. That Samaritan is the one that does what needs to be done to love their enemy, their neighbor. Remember Jesus' question. The lawyer says, who is my neighbor? Who counts in the circle of people that I have to care about? And Jesus turns it around. Which of these do you think was a neighbor? Not who was the neighbor to the man. Who is the neighbor to this man? Our thinking must change from who deserves my love. Our thinking must change from how much do I have to love even those people to what can I do to share this love with everybody? Not whether or not they're worth it, whether or not they deserve it, whether or not I might be forgiven if I leave them out. Jesus has already said nobody gets left out. Jesus has already said everyone is a part of your neighbor. Everybody. The question is, what are you going to do to be a neighbor? How are you going to love this group of people? What are those Samaritans, those Christian Lautners? I hope Christian Lautner doesn't watch our Facebook thing. I have to write him an apology letter. Who are those people? How can you be a better neighbor to those people, to those folks, to those children of God? Not who is your neighbor. How can you be a better neighbor? Amen.